Back on the Rob Dibble Show, let's bring in Stephanie Barassa. She is in charge of the rehab program over there at Harford Healthcare, sports medicine and clinical program director. And Steph, we were just talking to Dr. Alessi just about injuries and getting over them psychologically and things like that. How much of your job is basically not just athletes, but anybody who's getting over some kind of injury, trying to get them back to work or get them a positive attitude? How much of your job is about getting in someone's head about the rehab?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I actually met with a patient today who was preparing for knee surgery, and I spent the entire 45-minute session just talking with him about expectations and trying to help him mentally prepare. I think that the really cool thing that we have is I was able to bring Dr. Lucio, who I know you've spoken to before, into the actual session and give him some tips. So I'd say, you know, at least 50% of my job is at least connecting them with the right providers and having that constant checkpoint. I mean, you look at Kim this past weekend and shooting her breakthrough major and how she even contributed it to mindset training and connecting with the mental health part of her game.
Well, expectations, when you're doing that for someone, I mean, you have examples. I could throw Adrian Peterson, like, don't worry about it. Look at this guy. He's playing football right away. And then you have people that are totally on the other side of that spectrum. So how do you set them up to where they're not expecting to be ready to go tomorrow, but yet not so depressed from the bad news that you're about to deliver?
Yeah, we take the real team approach for sure. You know, a lot of our sports medicine doctors and us have had lots of conversations about how do we coordinate and stay on the same page with that and communicate. All athletes and actually a lot of patients or individuals who are recovering from an injury just want goals. And so we'll tell them we're going to check in at the post-op mark. We're going to check in at the 6-week post-op mark. We're going to check in at the 12-week mark. We're going to see how you're doing based off of these specific benchmarks and really help the patient to drive those goals and make sure that they're achieving everything that they want to do.
We're getting at some of the golf injuries and things since it is Travelers Week and stuff. How many golfing injuries do you see on a weekly basis? And what is one of the most common injuries that maybe doesn't even require surgery, but you guys are always rehabbing over there?
Yeah, the golf injuries come in waves for sure. We see those ones that come right off the course during the early season when they just get back out there. And then we see the ones that come in the off season. Those are the ones that we really try to get them into a strength and conditioning program in addition to rehabbing. I think our main injury that we see right now is a lot of low back pain, some meniscus pain, some knee pain, just from how they're changing that, how they're moving, just that setup all the way through that repetition of how many rounds they've been playing.
Steph, I always like to use my bone and joint experiences with the Rob Dibble Show to do something personally to help my own self out. And this is a very personal, serious situation. Dibs and I were playing Jason Aldean in a softball game, and I swear it felt like somebody from the upper deck just totally sniped me twice. Popped my left hamstring, Steph, and then the next step, popped my right hamstring. John Adibble helped me with some ice sitting down the rest of the softball game. But since that was like, what, 2018?
It was like 3 years ago.
It's a long time ago. And I've been told, I never, you know, played sports my whole life.
You should have rehabbed the injuries, first of all.
I did some stretching all the time, and I took it easy. But now, like even today, or last time I played golf, since then, the first drive, hole one drive, tee shot, I can feel it in my left hamstring, like right away. I'm a right-handed player. You know, I'm trying to go 350 down the middle every time, Steph. But it felt like I got sniped again. And then I don't say anything because the guys I'm with, I don't want to let know that I'm a wuss. So, and then I think in my head, oh man, I got to mask this pain for 14 more drives, maybe 17. So, but then it eventually goes away. What am I dealing with? What should I be doing so I don't have this pain for the rest of my life when I play golf?
Yeah, hamstring strains can repeat themselves over and over again. I mean, we see that in the NFL every year, those IRs, or even Major League Baseball, you know, a lot of that running on the bases or our outfielders. So one of the very first things that people tend to do when they pull their hamstring is they want to stretch, and that's actually opposite of what we would want them to do. We call use an acronym, which is called PLEASE, which is protect the tissue. You want to optimize the loading, and then you do your ice, your compression, and your elevation. So we use a lot of strengthening exercises right off the bat to try to optimize that tissue loading. So something as simple as hugging your knee to your chest and using a band to try to bend your knee down, your ankle down to your butt, so that you're getting your hamstring to strengthen when it's in a shortened position, which is what a lot of the NFL protocols are recommending. And we see that a lot more with our athletes now with our hamstring injuries. But warming up is definitely important. That's probably why by the fourth or fifth drive, you're feeling pretty good. But then your muscles start to fatigue out again, which is why 17 and 18 and maybe even the 19th hole, you're starting to get that pain in that back in that hamstring again. So strength is super important with hamstring strains.
Talking to Stephanie Barassa. She's over there at the Bone and Joint Institute at Hartford Healthcare, clinical program director. Okay, partially torn UCL in a pitcher's elbow or maybe football or tennis. Some choose not to get surgery. How long does it take to possibly like rest it and rehab and maybe come back? And, I'm not going to say as good as new, but how many do you actually get back to playing sports?
Yeah, that's a great collaboration with our elbow surgeons for sure. Oftentimes it's that same principle. You want to protect the tissues. The biggest thing that we see is looking at your actual mechanics of how you're moving and looking at your lower extremities too. There's a lot more research that's coming out that's looking at those lower extremities because that's where you get all of your power from. Talking about elbow velocities and where is the elbow within the slot? How long have they been dealing with that pain? It's actually less and less about the types of pitches, more about the workload and rest load ratios. And so that really can vary depending on how old the individual is, how long the injury has been happening, and again, whether or not we can address the mechanics. If it's something that happens through their throwing motion before their foot makes contact with the ground, it's something that we can reprogram. If it's after that foot comes in contact with the ground, it's a lot harder for us to try to change that pattern.
And the real cool tool you guys have over there at the Bone and Joint Institute is the Motion Lab. Our friend Ken Duke, PGA champion, Travelers champion, we told Duke, we said, man, you got to go over there to the Bone and Joint spot at the Travelers Championship and just check it out. And he's an older gentleman, I will say that, and loved it. Like, he didn't realize what his swing as a professional golfer for 40-plus years looked like with the Motion Lab. And you're talking about lower back pain. Like, I've seen this, I've used it, and you can see exactly where your joints and where your muscles move. And it seems like the best starting point for someone that enjoys playing, doesn't really want to change their swing because of one idea or another in their head, but is suffering from back pain because of it. You guys like can totally pinpoint that kind of motion.
Yeah, we can. We actually use the Titleist Performance Institute movement screen, which helps us to identify swing characteristics. We used to call them swing faults, but just like you said, if it works for you and it's not broken and it's not causing any pain, then we don't necessarily want to fix it. But if there is some movements that are breaking down your swing process and that's where you're starting to get pain, then we'll work with you to work on how moving better. But then we'll also work with your golf pro to address some of those swing characteristics that might be better suited to get you to drive farther or at least improve your longevity of your game.
Chris Sale's coming back from Tommy John surgery. Used to be 2 years, 18 months to come back from that. He's well within that. He's already throwing 90 miles an hour and throwing 45 pitches. How has it changed? At what level is it? Is it getting them out of their braces and things like that and getting more range of motion? Or is it on the back end after you've done a lot of rehab and three-a-days and things like that? You've just strengthened everything around the injury area and are protecting the surgical reconstruction. How has it changed over the years?
I think it's a combination of both. The surgeries are getting better and better. Surgeons are utilizing newer and more stabilizing techniques, which is awesome to see. There's a lot more care coordination and collaboration with the groups, both from a preoperative and postoperative management standpoint. And much like you said, earlier motion for most of the people, we're getting them out of the brace in a controlled fashion earlier, but we are strengthening not just the elbow, the wrist, and the shoulder. We're working on the postural muscles between the shoulder blades. We're working on hips and strength and getting somebody moving a little bit quicker. Nutrition is a huge proportion of it, and so is mental health in that behavioral health aspect to just kind of help you with imagery and getting that mind-body connection working again. So it really does take a team, but the really cool thing is that you have access to the team just like professionals do now.
We hear from parents all over the place that they want to get their son Tommy John surgery now.
So preemptive.
Preemptive TJ. What are your thoughts on that for a 15-year-old kid that doesn't need it?
Yeah, there's that Rookie of the Year movie, right, that we refer back to where they think they're going to throw harder, throw faster, and research is actually showing that that's the opposite. Your career actually tends to peter out a lot sooner just by getting that Tommy John. We recommend not specializing in a sport until, your later years of high school. And even then, playing multiple positions is really better for the body so that your tissues can get stronger. Off-season training is just as important and giving that arm a rest for sure. So we really look at those workload ratios that we were talking about before and try to work with the parents and the athletes so that they understand that Tommy John surgery, it's a last resort. It's not something that you want to shoot for. It's not going to necessarily make your velocity better. Your body can actually make your velocity better if we work at tuning that engine a little bit better for them.
Well said. God bless you, girl. I mean, I've been saying this for 20 years and people think I'm stupid, but
all, Ben. You're great.
No, this is Rob.
Rob, you're stupid, Ben.
I know, but when I'm working exactly what you just said, when I'm working with my younger pitchers, I talk about the lower half,
right?
And
yeah,
using your legs and using your trunk, and that's going to get you velocity. And how many questions do you get recently about the spider tack and putting some kind of foreign substance on your fingers? And are any young kids getting hurt trying that stuff?
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I actually have seen a lot more kids trying the weighted ball stuff.
The driveline crud.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
There's a lot of mixed literature out of there, and it's. I think there's a time and place in the athlete that is not within the collegiate setting and the older age of that collegiate setting. The medicine, the weighted balls are not necessarily for them. There's too many structures that are immature that are still working to grow, and your biomechanics can be better from a throwing perspective. Exactly like you said, working on driving the legs and getting off the rubber a little bit better, the follow through, making sure that you're optimizing your strength, your recovery. Those are more important than the weighted balls, and there's a time and a place for them. But in youth sports, that's not the setting that we're going to support.
Growth plates take about how long to develop in young athletes? I mean, their arms.
Yeah, it really depends. Puberty onset is different in everybody. Growth plates from a male maturity standpoint can be anywhere up to 23 years old, where they might still be open. Workloads, tensile loads are something that affects that. We see them in gymnasts all the time. We definitely see it in the little league shoulder. Until those growth plates are closed, you really want to protect those tissues around it and make sure that you're strengthening in an optimal way.
One thing you guys taught me in the world of golf is hips and the rotation of your hips.
Hips don't lie.
Hips don't lie. When you are feeling some pain after your golf, it's probably because your hips are so stiff. And like the exercises that, the doing the stretching, the first tee is great, but you've told me the trunk is actually where you generate power and where your pain can come from if you don't work that out right before you play.
Yeah, for sure. That's the kinematic sequence for you. The hips have to move. The hips are your driving force, your X factor, so to speak. Stretching afterwards, I actually just had this discussion with my dad the other day, is just gave him some simple stretches to move those hips both before and afterwards. It really does make a difference and improves the game.
How are your kids?
Yeah.
How did you deal with the whole pandemic with your family?
Really good. We're fortunate that we're in the healthcare system and had the great support of our healthcare systems. And my kids are young enough and active enough that they just enjoyed being outside and with our family.
So. Are they almost ready for school?
They are, yeah. Thanks for asking.
Oh, the fun's just starting for you.
And I heard football season is going to be a full go for high school around here, so it's going to get busy. I mean, September's going to be busy.
It is, and we're ready for it. Hopefully, we're ready for it now, actually, with some strength and conditioning available to anybody out there who wants to get ready for the fall so that the fall time is actually enjoying sports and not sitting on the sidelines.
Thank you, Stephanie. You're the best.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right, thanks for having me.